Right. If you would, turn your Bibles to Numbers 13. Have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for this time and opportunity to gather. We thank you for your word, wherein lies all truth concerning you and the purpose concerning you. We thank you for the revelation of the mystery of the gospel, which was given to our apostle Paul, that shows a way of salvation to all of mankind today, which is through your son Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, so that in his death, burial, and resurrection we can have the hope of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. We look forward to that heavenly life that we're going to have, that eternity. Till that time, as we go through this present evil world, I pray that you'd grant us the ability to see the truth in your word, hence, therefore, being edified and built up in the faith and strengthened in the faith by your word. We give you thanks and praise for Jesus Christ, that your Son was willing to die for our sins to save our wretched souls as we are. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. In Numbers 13, verse 1, And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of the fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men were heads of the children of Israel. And then in the next few verses, he gives the tribes and the names that he's going to send into the land of Canaan. So come on down to verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath, and they ascended to the by the south, and came to Hebron and Ahiman and Sheshai and Talmai. The children of Anak were there. The children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and other figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Very interesting story. I'm going to use this in other verses, because I'm going to address a few things to your liking or to your not liking. Just depends on where you fall. After the conference, it was unfortunate that there was a Facebook message that was sent out by someone in our church where four members of our church commented on it. There was a statement made in there that I took offense to, as well as some others, many others as a matter of fact, that I'm going to address. And the comment was made that leaders like to surround themselves with yes men. Well, let's take a look at this. There are 12 tribes. One man from each tribe. 12 men go into this land. They come back after 40 days. 10 of them. Two of them. The big divide there. 10 of them. Two of them. 10 of them said, no, we can't take the land. It's not good. It eats the inhabitants up. There are giants in the land. Two of them said, hey, no problem. Let's go. We can take it. Caleb and Joshua were the two that believed that God had promised them that land and that they could go in there and that they could possess the land. The other 10, no can do. Nope, can't do it. Because of the report, Caleb stood up, one of the yes men. You know what he had to do? Look in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Who do you think upset and disturbed the children of Israel? The 10 no's or the 2 yeses? Pretty easy, right? So the yes man said, we can do it. The yes man stilled the people. The no brought an evil report. And I know how Moses felt at that time. I know. Because I've been stilling people in this church for the last 6 months. I know how it is. And you're right. You're right. I'm going to surround myself with yes men. You got it. I'm going to do it, whether you like it or not. They didn't go into that promised land because of 10 no's. Every preacher, every pastor, every prophet, every patriarch, every king in your Bible wanted yes men around them. Men that had faith. Men that got behind them and supported them. Yeah. We'll see. You know why they didn't go in? Yeah, it's because of the no, we can't inhabit the land. I got this. I know the answer. Well, I'm preaching. I don't need it. All right. Hebrews 3:19, because of unbelief. Unbelief. You know what a no is? It's unbelief. Oh, we're all about believing the Word of God, rightly divided. Well, there comes a time where God puts you in a position where maybe your opinion is not even on the table. Maybe it's a situation where you just got to do a little supporting. You want to see yes and no in your Bible? Turn to Acts chapter 15. We'll fast forward this to Paul and his ministry. Paul had a number of ministers with him. Those that worked in the faith, helped preaching the Word of God, helping Paul out as he goes through his ministry. In Acts 15, verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the Word of the Lord with many others also. So we get a couple things there. Paul and Barnabas. And many others also were with them. Verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Interesting storyline. I get a couple things out of this. I see that Barnabas is right there with Paul. I see Barnabas is alongside Paul as they're going city to city to city. Then Paul makes a determination, we've got to go revisit some churches there and see how they do. Oh, Barnabas is on this except for one thing. Barnabas says, we're going to take this guy, John Mark. Paul said, oh, no, we're not. He left us before. We're not taking him. He's not fit for this. And the Bible says that over that one incident, the contention grew so strong that they divided asunder. They were separated, severed. You know what that tells me? One thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Not writing Spanish here. That tells me that there's a link in the church, the body of Christ. Not my opinion. There's a link. There's God, and I put pastor. You could put elder. You could put bishop. You could put preacher, minister, the head guy, over the saints. And that is the order. So you know what this storyline tells me? That we just read? That in that link, from God to the pastor of that time was Paul. He was God's go-to guy. But Barnabas, in his opinion, told Paul, no, Paul, we are taking John Mark. Well, let me tell you something. God uses a head guy, and the head guy only. And he makes the determinations. And so he used Paul. Now, I got something for you this morning. Got a little offering for everybody here. The opportunity for you to make some quick, easy money. I got our business card that we use for our travel company. Spark Visa, good card. There's a limit of $15,000 on this card. I will give you the limit of this card for the first one. Get your fingers and Bibles ready. Y'all want $15,000, don't you? I will give you $15,000 for the first one that can open your Bible and turn to the epistle written by Barnabas. Lawyers, don't worry, we're good. She was like, why do you want to know the limit of the card? I said, don't worry. You know why I could do that? Because I know the pattern that took place, that when there was a rising up to the direction of the ministry by Paul from Barnabas, and after this account in Acts, Barnabas don't show up again. Oh, that's just ironic. No, it's not. It's not ironic. It's how this thing is formed by God and how it works. You know what's beautiful about it? Barnabas leaves out. And I'm sure Paul would have said, would have loved Barnabas to go, so you don't want to take John Mark? No, Barnabas, I do not. Yeah, okay, we'll go without him. I'm sure that's really what Paul wanted. Because every preacher wants yes men around him. Everyone. Let me ask you something. Does a head coach of a football team want his assistants being yes men around him? Or does he want contention against him and the way he's going to run the team? Does a Fortune 500 CEO owner want to surround himself with no men or yes men? It's the nature of success. It's how it is. God likes yes because it responds to the faith of the preacher. So I took exception to that. And there was some quote from somebody. I'm sure his mother loved him, but I have no clue who he was. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, this guy said. Isn't that a cute little saying? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Really? Really? Tell me something. Come on, this ain't deep. Who has the absolute power in your Bible? Say it! Who? Oh, you can't even say it. God has the absolute power in your Bible. Absolute. Is he absolutely corrupt? No, he's not. And for the dispensation of the grace of God, God anointed Paul with absolute power. And he wrote down in order the things that the church, the body of Christ, were to operate under. So I hear about the dirty laundry being passed out, shown to everybody. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So we had an issue about dirty laundry being passed out. Well, let me show you a thing or two about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Inspired by God to Paul to the saints. Works perfectly. So the desire of God that he was given to Paul went to the saints at Corinth. Now why would Paul write verse 10? Why would he write verse 10? That there be no divisions among you. And being perfectly joined. I'll show you why. Verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So the Corinth church had issues within it. Problems. Division. And guess who came along? You're disgusting. You're a disgusting human being, you filthy mouth human being. Why don't you just get the hell out of here? All right, well, the members of this church will take care of you. Yeah, that's fine. Don't interrupt the message. Yeah, I don't blame you, Stephen and Bernadette. That's how people feel in this church. He has been building this thing for months. You! I'm crazy! If I'm crazy, you got to be psycho. I'm preaching. I got the control here. Don't tell me to say. No, we're going to video this. Okay. You're not sorry. You never have been sorry. Oh, and my name's on that list too, by the way, of the bank, just to let you guys know. I was going to get to that in the message, but since we have totally unruly Corinthians here, it will never go there. So something is going to change here. And the members of this church, the registered members of this church, is going to make it happen, whether you like it or not. It's going to happen. So I've talked with most everybody in here other than a few, and because I've heard you, we know what's going to happen. I haven't heard from the board. What do you mean, me? No, he didn't. It doesn't matter to me. No, that isn't the problem. No, it isn't the problem. We're not turning this into a debate. Done. No, I can't preach. I'm getting run over. Of the Corinthians got out by the house of Chloe. Which tells me that God really doesn't have a true issue with dirty laundry getting out. If so, he would have buried it. If you want to know about dirty laundry in your Bible or about God's attitude towards it, read your Bible. That's all you have to do. Read your Bible. David's adulterous affair, David's murder, got out, didn't it? That was dirty laundry. Turn to 1 Timothy. Chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. The elders were here at this conference. They preached here. And unless there's a doctrinal issue, you don't call them down. They may not be preaching what you want to hear. And let me inform you guys of something. I was saved in 1980. And I heard some preaching in my younger years that cut me to the heart. And there were times I left out of there angry. Because it cuts. I know there's a two-edged sword. And it cuts up and down. I've been there. I know how it feels. But when you go to the Word of God, the elders are worthy of double honor, whether you like the message or not. It never stipulates double honor if I like what he said. Obed is the responsible man for bringing the grace of God to this area. And what you guys have witnessed is really the reason why he got out. For all the smoke that came out of people's ears about it, you need to understand this was a man that spoke from an experience that I'm going through now. You say, well, we all going through it. Yes, we are. But I'm the ox that treadeth out the corn. And I don't appreciate people who have little regard to my wagon that I pull and throwing stuff in it to make my job harder to preach to the saints here. That is not the mentality of someone that renders double honor to the elder. That's not the mentality. That's not the attitude. I'm sure Barnabas had a bit of an issue with Paul. I'm sure he didn't like him. Sure, they kind of had some serious strained relationship between them. And you talk about getting called. I was not called and asked as the elder of this church, Mark, I'm thinking about posting this on Facebook. What do you think? And I know why I didn't. Because my answer would be, don't do it. Don't do it. You know how you handle it? I'll tell you. From God. Verse 19. Against an elder, received not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. If you have an accusation towards Steve Atwood or Obed Kirkpatrick or any other elder, God has structured to the pastor to read to the saints how to handle it. You can Skype Obed. You can conference call him. But in according to Scripture, there needs to be two or three witnesses associated. You work that out. But that's how by the book it should be done. Not just willy-nilly take a social thing and throw it out there. You say, well, Obed did it at the conference. He's the elder. And we see that God doesn't have any issue with dirty laundry and it getting out. No issue. David said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. How would that be done? How are you going to create a clean heart? By thy word that I've hidden in my heart. This all starts with the heart. There's a difference from an attack and a rebuke. You need to learn the difference. An attack and a rebuke. Only one position in the church, the body of Christ, is given by God the authority to rebuke, and that's the preacher. You don't display it. Facebook, email, text, verbal conversation, and rebuke an elder. Call him to the carpet. So that whole thing was totally out of order. Totally out of order. I was about pushed to the ledge to get out of the pastorate here. I have friends, and I have faithful friends who walked me from that ledge. So here's the deal, and we'll culminate with this because I know you all want to go home. I am the pastor here, and this structure will remain. And the issues that have been brought up here and the discord that has been brought into this church is going to be taken care of. It will be taken care of. It will be taken care of by the saints of this church. If you don't want me to be your pastor, if you don't want me to be your preacher, then here's the deal. Put your Bible under your chicken wing and walk out. Walk out. That's all I can. Leave. Just leave. Just leave. I understand, once again, how Obed's message hurt. But I understand the hurt from Obed of where it came from. And I'm going to abide by this rule. I'm not rebuking a preacher. The only ones I stand up against are those that corrupt the Word of God. So I'm here, and I've talked with many here. And I hear you, and I know where you stand. So the saints will make a determination to resolve the discord in this church. Because it is quite obvious that there are some here that have no respect of double honor towards this elder. That's your call. That's your business. There are people here that want to come and hear God's word through me to you. And it's that simple. My conviction of my ministry is my conviction. The direction that I want to carry it out is based upon my conviction that God has put in my heart to carry out. Yeah, we're streaming. But it was a hellstorm to go through, and it shouldn't have been. The position was conviction to stream. What can we do to help? And that was not there. The board's responsibility at that point was to either agree to purchase the equipment. And that's it. From there on, the assembly and all was being taken care of, and then the conviction of my heart was to stream and carry the Word of God out to numerous people who have literally begged me to stream. Beg me. I'm not exaggerating. If I'm convicted to carry my ministry out, to have a tribesman in the heart of the Amazon bang my message out on a hollow log to another tribe, if I'm convicted of that, then that's how it's going to get done. Just like Paul was convicted to go check on the other churches. There was no debating it. We're not taking him. Oh, yeah, we're taking him. And Barnabas disappeared. The years that I've done this, in 19 years, I've never, ever corrupted God's word. Never. Now, there may be some things I don't understand. I go, guys, I think this is how it is. But I haven't corrupted the basic fundamental doctrine of the Word of God. Not only that, I have never been into the pocket of this church where there could be anyone lay to my account that I stole money from this church. There's been no malfeasance in office from me. None. I've been faithful in all that. You would think after 19 years of that record, you would see a pattern where maybe this guy, Mark, is committed to this church, this fellowship, and if I get behind him, we're going to be okay. I don't feel it. That's for sure. Totally. So there's obviously a significant division in this church. And it's to a point where somehow, some way, it is going to be remedied. And the collateral damage to some is going to be significant. The texts that were sent to me were not texts with any question. Hey, can you do this? Was never a question. It was a statement. I was told in one, Mark, there's an elephant in the room. I'm not quoting it per se, but there's an elephant in the room. Can you get it out? Only you can fix it. Metaphors, but it never was written like, get back with me ASAP. Trust me, I've sent out some texts too, and I never got a reply. Never made an issue of it. The saints of this church, the members of this church, we're going to put a bullet right between the eyes of that elephant. And if you're near the elephant when it drops and it falls on you, it's going to squish you. But it's going to be taken care of, because this will not go on. This will not go on. That was totally out of order of what that man did. I understand the frustration, but let me tell you something. When you've been in a church like this for a period of time, as some of you are, you're one of two things in this church. You're one of two things. You're either a pillar or you're a problem, and there's no in between. Even Obed, which never got mentioned, wrote that type thing up here. Aaron Melanson is one of the few people in this church that from birth has been raised up in the faith by him and Terry and Lisa. Terry's passed. Aaron stayed faithful. He was raised up in the Scripture. something most kids are not. I actually wish my two girls were as disciplined to the scripture as Aaron is. Aaron's a new guy, breaking news. Aaron's a new board member, by the way. So after the thing, Aaron goes in the kitchen. One of the board members is in there. After all the years in the church, the comment is made to Aaron, "Welcome to the board. How'd you like having your ass wiped this morning?" Maturity, right? Build this guy up. Encourage him. Oh, yeah. That was a comment made to this man. So some of you that are right now defensive against me, you don't know all the stories that I do. And I, to your credit, I don't know all your stories. But trust me, I have been faithful in this church to you guys. And I'm going to remain that way. But once again, something will be done by the members of this church. Stand and we'll be dismissed.